Hello, and welcome back to our study through the book of Romans. Today we're looking at Romans chapter 14 as we continue this more practical section of the book of Romans coming to a conclusion. And in the last few chapters that we've seen, this theme of loving one another have come up a couple of times in the last few chapters. And it's going to come up again in chapter 14 in a little bit more specific details of particular scenarios. And Paul starts off this chapter by talking about passing judgment on each other, or rather not passing judgment on each other. In verse 1 he says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand." So essentially, what we have here are different quarrels taking place over matters of opinion. These are not matters of the Christian life. These are not matters of holiness. These are not matters of living a life that is pleasing to God. These are things that simply come down to differences of opinion. And Paul here is trying to strive for unity amongst believers, amongst the church, by calling for them not to get caught up in these petty quarrels over things that really come down to matters of opinion. Continuing on that same line, he would go on to show how each person essentially may honor Christ in different ways. He says in verse 5, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." So we shouldn't pass judgment on each other for some of our differences, even as it relates here, as he says, to honoring God. And he says, you know, one person celebrates a particular day, and other people say, well, I don't necessarily want to celebrate that day as more important than another day. I see all days as being equal. Okay, again, those are differences of opinion. There are no commands to celebrate particular days. There are no commands that you must honor God in certain ways on particular days. But some people may see the benefit of honoring God, giving thanks to Christ, taking a specific time to do that on a certain day, whereas other people may say, well, I just try and honor Christ every day a little bit as much as I can and give thanks to God in that way. So we see that each person may honor Christ, each person may show their thanks to God in different ways, on different days. These are matters of opinion that Paul says we should not let divide us and should not let us cause us to pass judgment on somebody else because they don't necessarily honor Christ in the way that we do, or they don't necessarily give thanks to God at the same times that we do. So we all ultimately will have to give an account to God, though. If, you know, the next question that arises in your mind is, okay, so shouldn't I help them to get on track, though, if they're starting to drift too far? How far is too far in letting them just honor Christ in their own way? There is still a righteous standard that every person will have to give an account to God for how they've lived, as Paul says, starting in verse 10, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So essentially, Paul here saying, everyone's going to give account to God for how that person has lived their life and honored Christ or not honored Christ. So that judgment call is not left up to you, believer. That judgment call is not left up to me. It's not left up to us to determine how that person has lived their life. God will judge that person. So it's not up to us to pass judgment. Clearly, if we see a brother or sister in Christ straying into sin, there are biblical commands for us to try and help that person out of sin. But in this case, we're dealing with matters of opinion or differences of opinion and how to honor God, how to honor Christ. Not things that are clearly stated in Scripture as being right or wrong. And so ultimately, we want to avoid passing judgment on other believers, but the biggest chunk of this chapter Paul spends to talking about this concept of causing your brother to stumble, or in other words, causing your brother to commit sins of conscience, okay? And so here, getting into this concept of sins of conscience, this is that aspect of for someone who in their conscience feels that something is wrong to do, it essentially is wrong to do, whereas it may not be wrong for someone else to do if in their conscience they feel that it's not wrong, okay? Ultimately, with that understanding again that all believers have God's Spirit living inside of them, guiding and directing their conscience. According to the flesh, as we've talked about earlier in Romans, according to the flesh, your conscience will lead you astray. But in this sense, there may be some things that are wrong for one person and not for another, simply because it is hurting their conscience. And that hurting of their conscience may even lead them into other deeper sins. So notice what Paul says here, starting in verse 13. He says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. That's where we said that concept of letting another brother stumble. Verse 14, he said, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. This refers to that Jewish concept from the Old Testament law of things being considered clean or unclean, holy or unholy. He says, I know that nothing is unclean in and of itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. So essentially, he's saying, you know, the physical stuff of our world is not unholy. It's not unclean in and of itself. It's neutral, right? But for a person that in their conscience is telling them that it is wrong to engage in certain behaviors, that a certain thing is evil, it becomes evil. It becomes sinful to that person. Verse 15. He said, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. And then our key verse for this chapter, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So essentially saying there, you know, let's say the matter of conscience here is certain foods or certain type of things that you eat, Paul says. You know, you may have no problems with eating certain types of foods, but you know that your brother in Christ has a struggle with particular foods and feeling like it's just not morally good to eat certain types of foods, maybe things that are unhealthy for your body. And they say, look, it's just not right. You shouldn't do that. Paul here says, even though you see no problem with it, even though you understand that there's no issue there, eating those things in the presence of your brother causes them to stumble into sin because they see you engaging in something that feels wrong to them, violates their conscience, and may cause them to bring all of their faith and all of their Christian life into question, and ultimately hurts them and hurts the body of Christ. When here Paul's going to go on to show us, it would just be easier for you to, while that person's around that you know struggles with that, just don't eat it. while they're there. Okay? Don't talk about eating it while they're there. Don't, you know, post about eating it on Facebook, knowing if they're going to see it. And they're going to be led into sin because of that. He says, look, let's not destroy your brother for the sake of food. Verse 20 says, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it's wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. And he would tell us there that in our key verse that, look, the kingdom of God is bigger than just what you're eating and drinking or the physical things that go on in this universe. This living for God, living as a part of his kingdom and being his servant is bigger than that. So don't create drama, dissension, disagreement, problems with other believers over things that are so petty, over things that are not that big of a deal. Yeah, you may be saying, I have a right to eat this. I have a right to do this. There's nothing wrong with it. Sure. But for the sake of your fellow brother and sister in Christ that can't see that, or that in their conscience is telling them that it's not okay, just don't do it. For their sake, for the sake of unity, for the sake of the kingdom of God. And this is essentially what Paul is trying to get us to realize in this concept of loving one another. It's really about giving up your own desires, giving up your own rights and privileges for the benefit of others, for the benefit of the church as a whole, for the benefit of the kingdom of God. We have the opportunity to be a part of that kingdom by the grace of God, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let's not make light of it by arguing and getting into quarrels over petty issues. And here the issue he's talking about is dealing with eating specific things. But it could be anything. I don't have to tell you that. I think we all realize the petty issues that we as Christians, we as human beings in general, can get caught up around. So let's show that love towards each other. Let's honor the kingdom of God as being more than just food and drink. I hope that something here said here today would resonate in your heart, that it ministers to you. And I hope and pray that you share it with everyone around you. Thank you, and God bless.